take your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're going to start reading in verse number 18. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18. And then I'll teach till about a quarter till. We'll have an invitation, and then we'll get ready for the Lord's Supper. And I'm just trying to give everybody a heads up. I'm going to shut it down, I'll never get done tonight, so I'm not worried about it. But Matthew chapter 4, we're going to talk about soul winning again for the next couple weeks and a little bit more practical, but I want to help you tonight. Matthew chapter 4, very familiar passage, verse number 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He saith unto them, Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. They straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching in the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, must have come here, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. There followed him a great multitude of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem, from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Now, look at me, if you will, and I want to just be real practical tonight, but let me give you maybe just a little bit more in-depth thought than what you're used to thinking here. Here in Matthew chapter 4, it's also recorded in Mark chapter 1, verses 16 through 22, Jesus is gathering a group of men to work with him. We call them the disciples or the apostles. I want you to notice they're virtually his assistants. I want you to notice something. He was hiring a staff. He asks them to leave their business of fishing and become fishers of men. Now, they understood the fishing business with as far as the little ones that swim in the water, but the ones that walked on ground on 2 feet was a whole different ballgame. He said, if you'll follow me, I will make you fishers of men. He wasn't talking about teaching them to go out and throw a line and reel in a fish or two. He said, I'm going to teach you how to make a living reaching men. Your occupation will be reaching people. You have to understand, Andrew was already saved. He was one of John the Baptist's disciples. But also, he's the one that brought Peter to Jesus. Then, as they were walking by, they saw James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were on a ship working. And he said, come on, fellas, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'm going to teach you another career. And he was literally hiring a staff of men to work with him. By the way, those fishermen were commercial fishermen. They weren't, these were rough, tough, rugged, work all night, chapped hands, torn apart hands, rough skinned, barrel chested kind of fellers. They weren't wimps. I got a barrel chest too. It just fell a little bit. by the way, that proved that Jesus was not a sissy. Can I tell you something? Rough, tough, rugged men aren't going to follow somebody that wiggles when they walk. Rough, tough men aren't going to follow some long-haired maggot that talks effeminately and talks real softly and, oh, everything is love. Gag. They're used to pushing and shoving and busting each other in the chops and everything else. And who's the first people he called? Those fellas. Now, he makes a statement to these fishermen that I want us to focus on. I want you to look at verse number 19. He saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That's interesting. They understood making money fishing for fish. They did not understand making a living fishing for men. Please don't take this the wrong way. This wasn't the casual hobby, 2 days a summer vacation fishing. This wasn't taking a charter boat out for 3 or 4 hours, catching a few fish and going home and being done. They were the ones that owned the boat. They were the ones that cast the nets. They were commercial. They were making a living doing it. And we have the benefit of seeing the whole story. These men didn't have the benefit of seeing the end like we do. May I say something here? It takes a lot of faith to follow somebody and say, quit your career and follow me, I'll give you another one. Be like me walking up to Brother Barnes and saying, I want you to quit where you're working and follow me, and I'll show you how to make a living doing what I'm doing. Okay, what's my pay? Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out later. We'll just trust God to take care of our needs. May I say this? That's not easy. It's a little bit of what I told him. He knew what career he was getting into. But as you hire people to work with people, you can't always guarantee in church work everything going to come the way it's supposed to come. Now, listen to me carefully here. These men had no idea what was ahead. They chose to leave their boats. They chose to leave their businesses. They chose, in some cases, to leave the family business. Watch this. Walk away with no paycheck and follow a man named Jesus. Whew. That's something. They lost their investments. They didn't have their 401. They didn't have their retirement. They didn't have insurance. But they decided they'd follow Jesus. I'm certain that they had family members who were not only skeptical, but very critical of what they did. I'm sure people said, what do you want to go do that for? I can imagine their business friends were pretty upset. What do you mean you're going to follow this Jesus fella? You're a good fisherman. What are you messing your career up for? Everybody doing okay? I'm sure most people would have called them foolish. Many would have said, man, they went off the deep end. Or they swallowed the Kool-Aid. Or, oh, that fella's a cult leader. No, these were good, wholesome, hardworking men, but they were also spiritual men. Because they weren't, listen to this statement. They didn't say, oh, I feel led. I feel like the Holy Ghost wants me to do something. No, the Holy Ghost didn't tell them, Jesus did. Never once do you hear them say, well, I feel like, the feeling didn't play into this. Well, I'm being led. Yeah, Jesus said, follow me. Jesus was leading and said, if you want to follow me, jump in. But it wasn't some spookiness. And I've got to hurry. There's so much I want to say right there. They knew the scriptures well enough to know that Jesus was the Messiah. They knew the scriptures well enough to know, A, there would be a Messiah, and B, that Jesus fulfilled that. They were not doing something foolish. They weren't doing something spooky. They were obeying God and the scripture. That's good. They knew the Bible well enough to know that Jesus was who he said he was. And if he were the Messiah, he was worthy of being trusted and followed. Jesus did teach these four men to fish for men. Of these four men, three of them became the inner circle of Jesus: Peter, James, and John. Now listen to me very carefully. These four men were used to turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. Those aren't my words. Those are the words of a worldly king. They turned the world upside down. Now, they were not perfect men. They had times of sin and even had times of backsliding. It's a ghost. It can't be Jesus. He was being crucified, and what'd they do? They forsook him. They didn't always obey. They were not perfect. Everybody doing okay? And Jesus didn't get them up in front of the church and tell everybody all the bad things they did either. He did put it in the Bible. They got scared. They got depressed. They got frustrated. They got angry. Matter of fact, Peter tried to whack some guy's head off. Missed him and only got his ear. In spite of being humans like you and me, they did keep going and learned how to fish for men and carry on the work that Jesus told them to do. What was that work? That work is very simple. It's winning people to Jesus Christ, getting people saved, and getting them involved in the church. They were doing the work of Christ. They were, may I say this? They were the beginning process of Acts 20:20. They were the ones that preached in Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost. They are the ones that led at Pentecost. They are the ones that after Jesus left, they took the church and spread it throughout all the world and started churches all over the world. They are the reason we have a church here today. Wouldn't you like to take part in something like that? Wouldn't you like to learn to be a fisher of men? Now, I like fishing. I like hunting. I like hunting a little more than I like fishing, because usually there's a little bit more, no pun, bang for the buck. But usually there's a little bit more involved, and we're not real close to a lot of lakes necessarily, and I don't have a boat and time to go out there and drown worms for a while. But I do enjoy fishing. I enjoy hunting. But I don't spend my life doing those things. I spend my life trying to help and to reach people. Now, I'm going to give you some practical thoughts here. I have about 12 minutes and then I'm going to shut it down. Number one, you cannot catch people if you don't go. Did you know you can't go kill something hunting if you don't go? Do you know if you don't go fishing, you won't catch one? That's true. Simple fact. Did you know you won't see people's lives changed or people saved if you don't go talk to them? It's real simple. I'm sorry. You may not get one every time you go, but at least you had the chance to. Brother Barnes and I were out hunting, was it Thursday? No, Monday evening. Sorry, what day is today? I'm totally lost. Monday evening, I took Brother Barnes out, and he got him a nice doe Monday evening. Guess what? Had he not gone, he wouldn't have got one. You had to be there to even get the chance. Now, I was on the same piece of property and didn't get a shot. I could have taken one, but I didn't want the three little ones that were standing there. So I chose not to shoot. I had the opportunity to, but I chose not to. Now, wait a minute. But anybody else that did not go didn't even have a chance to get one. The same is true in witnessing. You say, well, I've gone and never got one. I've gone hunting far more times without getting something than getting something. Amen. I've always seen something. Most of the time I've seen something. But even if I didn't, at least I was there in case something did come. Now, listen to me very carefully. You'll never have a chance to get one if you don't go. Jesus never commanded them to catch fish. He commanded them to go fishing. Did you hear what I said? By the way, we think of fishing as... Their fishing was huge nets, rolling them up, putting them on boats, taking them out into deep water, dropping them puppies, placing them all over the lake, and going back a couple hours later, hauling those nets in full of fish, pulling the fish out, reworking those nets and going net to net, pulling huge nets worth hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds of nets in. It wasn't... It was hard work, commercial work, filling up boats, not filling up your little cooler. What you catch as fish, they used as bait. Now, Jesus didn't command them to catch fish. He just taught them how to go fishing. They were not skilled people as far as reaching people. But they used their skill to learn how to reach people. Do you hear what I just said? I don't think Peter, James, and John were necessarily polished people workers. Matter of fact, I know Peter wasn't. Peter usually had his foot stuck in his mouth more times than not. He usually got his mouth going and then said, uh-oh, I probably ought not have said that. Peter would get into more trouble, and some of the other disciples would too. They weren't as skilled with people as they were with fish. But listen to this statement. They used what they knew about fishing to begin to reach people. I don't care what your career or your training is in. God can use that to reach people. And not just people that know your training. Good night. I'm not a mechanic. But I grew up in a mechanic's home. I know the terminology. Now don't ask me how to do it all. But I can fake anybody out on some things. Say why? Because I grew up hearing those words. I grew up hearing those stories. I can use those to reach somebody that's mechanically inclined. Now, if they say, come out and look at my engine, I'm going to say, you don't want that. Mm-mm. By the way, listen to this statement. Fishing for men is not a spiritual gift. Soul winning is not a spiritual gift. It's not something God has to give you. He already did. He commanded you. It's in the Word of God. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, I even gave you the Holy Ghost inside of you that'll do the work for you if you just get out there and go get one. It was not to be done by some and not others. I've heard this in churches before. Well, if God truly wants them saved, he'll get them there. God placed the responsibility getting the gospel out on us. He did all the saving. It's our job to get the message out to them. That's Calvinism. That's lazyism. It is simple obedience. May I say something? Just reach in your pocket or your pocketbook or in your coat pocket or whatever, and you pull out a gospel tract and you hand it to somebody and say, hey, this is an invitation to our church. And on the back of it, it'll show you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven someday. Then you can get real bold and say, do you know you're going there for sure? And if they say no, there's enough scriptures right there. You could read it off the gospel tract, show them how to get saved, have them bow the head and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they're on their way to heaven. It's that simple. So... You use your skills, you use your background, you use your experiences in life to begin a conversation with people. By the way, that's what soul winning means. Brother Josh, stand up for a second. Most of you think soul winning means spirit winning. It's not. Soul winning means I use my personality to knock on his door to find out enough about him to keep the door open long enough, begin a conversation to where he might trust me, introduce the gospel to him to where he may accept the gospel because he likes my personality a little bit. It's my soul winning his soul to get him to see the gospel to get saved.
That's good.
Soul winning isn't the moment someone gets saved. Soul winning's the moment you... Hey, I see you got a archery deer back there. What kind of bow do you shoot? Experience. Hey, well, you got any bucks on the wall? Let me see them. Then I'll tell them about the one in my office and my turkeys. And they're like, a preacher? Yeah. Got him. Let me introduce you to my friend, though. His name's Jesus. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Boy, what an easy way to talk to somebody. Thank you. You can use your life's experiences to reach people. That's what Jesus was teaching the disciples here. Number two, I've got to hurry. You don't know what you will catch or what your catch will become. When you're fishing with nets, even when you're fishing with a line and a hook, you don't always know what you're going to catch. But especially when you're commercial fishing, you have an idea what you're targeting, but did you know you don't always catch what you think you're going to catch? I remember one time I was fishing and I caught another fishing pole. I remember another time I was out fishing and I thought for sure I caught the biggest whale in the world. I worked 15 minutes and I kept pulling and 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 pulling. Reeling and pulling and reeling and pulling. Guess what I pulled in? A turtle. About that big around. Let me tell you, that was the hardest fish I ever landed. That was not what I was going for. You think that's funny? I didn't think it was real funny at the time. Because it had a head on it about the size of your fist, a big old snapper, alligator snapper type turtle. And I finally got that thing up to the edge of the boat, and the guy I was fishing with went, I said, wait a minute, cut that puppy off. Man, I pulled myself half to death to get that thing up, and he cuts the line. He said, I ain't reaching in after it. You don't know what you're going to catch. When you use a net, you catch everything. You get everything that swims into the net. It doesn't discriminate on size. It doesn't discriminate on color. It doesn't discriminate on how big of a wallet is in its pocket. You catch everything. We have too many churches to where the pastors are out angling after one kind of fish and they're not dropping the nets, getting everybody in. God wants you fishing with a net, not with a hook. Everybody doing okay? That means this, you can't witness to the wrong person. You can't tell the wrong person how to get saved. Did you know you don't have to worry about if they got red skin, brown skin, black skin, purple skin, green skin, white skin, or any other color skin? It doesn't matter if they're rich, doesn't matter if they're poor, doesn't matter if they're educated, doesn't matter if they're uneducated. Doesn't matter if they're musically inclined or if they can't even turn the radio on. Doesn't matter if they have class or if they think class is only for school. That was supposed to be funny. Some of you didn't catch that one either. You may get big ones. You might get little ones. You might get old ones. You might get young ones. But God said just go out and get them all. There are times people will give me addresses to go visit people. And I'll go. And there's times the address they gave me isn't right. Well, you can say, oh, I'm sorry, thanks, and turn around. Or, in my case, I say, well, the door's open. I'm Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church. Apparently, I got the wrong people that live here, but God wanted me to show up. Do y'all go to church anywhere? I've won many people to Christ that way. I may have had a wrong address, but I was at the right house. Say, why is that? Because if you got the net in the water, catch it. I wonder how many times we pass by things. Well, I don't think that one would want it. You know, you don't see what you're going to catch before you catch it, usually. I'm going to make a statement here. Quit trying to predict those who will get saved and who don't. Man, I got over that a long time ago. I was wrong about 99% of the time. By the way, that means at the door, that means through doing surveys. Reason we don't do a survey, surveys are things that churches have started to do. They have a questionnaire, and they'll go door to door asking people this questionnaire. And all you're supposed to do is give them a track and ask them these questions, fill it out, bring the paper back, and somebody in office looks at the questions to find out which have been marked in a certain way. And then they send another group of people out to go re-knock on that door, thinking those people are most likely the ones to get saved. Folks, that's dumb as a box of rocks. If you got the door open and you got a gospel track in your hand, shoot them with the gospel gun. If you don't pull the trigger, you'll never hit it. Everybody doing okay? By the way, one fish isn't more important than another fish. God says, I just want you to catch fish. It's not my job to decide which fish get caught. I'm just supposed to catch fish. It's not my job to decide which ones get saved and which ones don't get saved. It's my job to catch fish. Jesus said, if you'll follow me, I will make you fishers of men. I don't mean this to sound the wrong way here, but we've gotten to become too professional in our soul winning if we're not careful. We think we have to have 1, 2, 3, poem, prayer, here we go. It's got to be just this way. Oh, no, 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 no. Did you know that every baby is born through the same process, but each birth is different? Jesus said you must be born again. Salvation is as individual as every human being. Oh, they have to go through the same process. You're right. Realize we're sinners. Realize because we're sinners, we deserve hell. That Jesus paid that price for us is all we have to do is trust him and what he did for us to take us to heaven. Hey, that's the process. How we get to that process is different with each and every individual. But they're all fish. And Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. They left their nets. They left their boats. They left their businesses and made a career out of reaching people. I am not asking you to leave your businesses. I'm not asking you to quit your jobs. But I'm asking you, will you be a fisher of men? Will you reach people? Will you drop the net each day and try to catch something? That's what Jesus is asking us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I long for our church, and we're starting to catch it real good. To be fishers of men. Who'd say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon, something I needed tonight. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, many, many, many hands.